Monday edition of Mr. Irrelevant. Thank you for bearing with us there through our brief technical difficulties. Strofe goes out of town and all the rails fall off here at the ESPN Milwaukee Gruber Law Office Studios. We did have a different plan. This guy was supposed to join us a little bit later in the show, but since the late start, I want to throw it directly to the video of the very host of this show, Alex Strofe, yesterday in the stands at Nissan Stadium in Tennessee, Nashville, whatever it's called. I want everyone to take a good hard look at your host here and his performance yesterday at the game. They call him Mr. Irrelevant, now the starter of chance. Alex Strofe, where are you in the world right now?
I'm in southern Indiana sitting outside of a Burger King. No free ads. But yeah, look, after watching that back, Joshy, I understand I'm a D-bag. I understand I'm a loser. I get that. I will be the first to admit it. Now, I've only watched that, right? I haven't just heard it like I just did over the phone without the visual. I didn't realize it took like 6 attempts for anybody else to join me in that go-pack chant. So that's a little embarrassing. I'm not going to lie to you. But, hey, a win's a win. 16-point win by Malik Willis. I'm happy. You know, it was 91 degrees outside, Joshy. And I was in the third deck. So I'm like, you know, only a couple feet from the sun, it felt like. So I'm glad I'm still here to tell the tale. But, yeah, a little embarrassing. I won't lie to you.
Yeah, I watched that. That video actually, my girlfriend showed me it and said, what is he doing there? And I said, that's just Strofe being Strofe. He's just being, you know, that's who he is. Your arm in that, I watched your video, your fist pump arm almost seems like it's like a digital recreation. I don't know if it's so scrawny that the camera was having a hard time picking it up, but whatever. We'll watch the video later. We'll break down the tape when you get back to Wisconsin. But just give me your biggest takeaways from the game. I didn't have the chance to do mine right out of the gate. I imagine ours are going to be pretty similar here. But what were the big takeaways you had while you were in stadium for that Packers game?
Yeah, I'll just rapid fire through them, Joshy, and you can tell me if you agree or disagree. Let's start with one you gave me a hard time for last week, and that was the acronym I used in one word on our Wednesday edition of the show, where I said the acronym for the Packers was COY, C-O-Y for Coach of the Year. I think Matt LaFleur furthered that argument yesterday, drawing up again a masterful game plan. So COY, still my word of the week for the Green Bay Packers. Offense looked really solid. Malik Willis looked like a good quarterback in Tennessee, something we haven't seen over the course of the last 3 years. So that was encouraging. 8 sacks by the defense is bananas. Another interception for Xavier McKinney is bonkers. This defense is for real. And when you look at the NFC, San Francisco loses again yesterday. Minnesota wins again yesterday, which I'll get to in a second. But it's wide open, right? Like, I think there's still the usual suspects, right? San Francisco and Philadelphia and Detroit is still a good team. And Green Bay is certainly in that mix, and it doesn't look like they've missed a total beat against, you know, inferior competition, albeit, but without Jordan Love. So I think this is a team that can compete for the Super Bowl after watching what they've been able to do with their franchise quarterback the last 2 weeks. And this sets up a really intriguing matchup this weekend at Lambeau Field, right? Like, these are two really good teams that are real contenders in the NFC. I will say that about a Sam Darnold-led Vikings team. I think they're a real contender. So I'm really excited to see what next week brings. But yesterday, again, was a Matt LaFleur and Jeff Hapley masterclass.
The only thing I have to disagree with is the fact that you keep using COY and leaving off the T when the acronym most commonly used is Coach of the Year. So it's COTY. But other than that, I think you stand. I agree with pretty much everything you have to say. My one big takeaway was I no longer think of Malik Willis as just like strictly break glass in case of emergency. Like, he kind of showed me he might just be like a game manager. And I'm not saying people are going to be knocking down the doors necessarily for him, but that 3rd and 18 throw to Christian Watson, some of those throws he made were, like, if you told me 3rd and 14 and 3rd and 18 the Packers are going to convert, I would have told you you're absolutely insane.
Josh, I'm glad you bring up the 3rd and 18 because the video you just played for everybody was immediately after the 3rd and 18 conversion. that's the play I was reacting to. So I think you can understand why my digitized arm looked so excited in the 0.5 camera view, is because I just didn't have high hopes for what that play would bring or what that drive would bring. You know, as much as Malik Willis has shown us in the last 2 weeks, Joshy, I still don't expect him to you know, convert in those spots. I don't expect a first down throw in a 3rd and 18. That's just not what you come to expect for a guy who 2 weeks ago we were talking about the headline, struggles with football. It's not a guy who looks like he struggles with football the last 2 weeks, and certainly that helps because of the head coach and the play caller offensively and Matt LaFleur. It helps when you have the weapons he does at his dispense around him. But it doesn't hurt that you were playing two bad teams from the AFC South the last 2 weeks. But altogether, he looked the part. And I don't know that any of us expected that 2 weeks ago when we got the news that Jordan Love would miss the next few weeks. So all in all, you couldn't ask for a better result the last 2 weeks than two victories, zero turnovers by Malik Willis, and several by the Packers defense. So all in all, this looks like a team that can compete for a championship down the stretch, and I think this weekend, and I know we'll talk about this when I'm back Wednesday and the rest of the week, but this weekend sets up a really intriguing matchup in the NFC North.
I want to ask you a very simple question. Aaron Rodgers famously used this quote. Do the Green Bay Packers have a defense?
The Green Bay Packers have a defense.
I tend to agree. Now, I don't think every game is going to end in 8 sacks, 3 interceptions, but we are going to do stock up, stock down a little bit here. Can I throw you on the spot and give me one stock up and one stock down you saw, I guess, through 3 weeks here? You can keep it just to last yesterday's game, but who do you got for stock up and stock down?
I guess I didn't plan to do this segment that I know you were going to do, Joshy, so I appreciate you throwing me on the spot. But I guess let's start with the obvious one.
I mean, I am asking
right?
you to name one good player. Like, let's be honest here.
No, the stock up part is not the concern I'm having right now, Joshy. I was drinking White Claws and other seltzers because, you know, I couldn't drink liquor in 91-degree weather last night. Stock up is easy for me, and it's a guy whose stock has been up all season long. That's Xavier McKinney. Third game as a Packer, third interception as a Packer. I imagine, and I haven't looked at sports books in terms of long-term, you know, futures, when it comes to DPOY, to use another acronym, I would guess Xavier McKinney's got to be close to the top of that list when it comes to Defensive Player of the Year odds through the first 3 weeks of the season. So what he's been able to do is Nick Collins-esque, right? You just haven't had such a lockdown safety in the defensive backfield for Green Bay since Nick Collins. So he's been so impressive despite what we knew he could be, right? You don't spend that much in free agency on a safety expecting him to be bad, but he's been terrific. Three interceptions in 3 weeks is bananas to me. That's a wild statistic. And right next to him too, Jair has been really solid. He looked really good yesterday, obviously with the pick six. So stock up really to those two in the defensive backfield. I don't want to get too in the trenches, but I would go stock down Rashid Walker at left tackle. I didn't love what I saw out of him yesterday in a few spots. Look, I still have faith in him, but let's keep in mind this was still a guy that was splitting snaps last year with Josh Nyman, who obviously is not with the team anymore now in Carolina, who got a big win yesterday with Andy Dalton. So I'd like to see more growth out of him at the left tackle spot. Obviously, you know, we could debate it all day. I would vote that as the most important position on the offensive line. Luckily, you have a very elusive Malik Willis, so he didn't take too many snaps. But he did a nice job yesterday extending the plays when things came crashing down. So I'd go stock down Rashid Walker at left tackle. How's that for a pull, Joshy?
That's great work. I did add you to my stock down list here after you kind of tried to hedge your bet there on what you were. Yeah, if you were going to give me nothing on stock up, stock down, I was going to add you to the list later in the show. But you redeemed yourself. You are, I wouldn't say stock up right now, but your stock's the same. So that's good to hear. Before we let you go and before we before you talk about a little Door County, I want to know, how was Broadway? How was Honky Tonkin'? How was all of that? It seemed like Green Bay Packers fans kind of took over Nashville a little bit this weekend.
Oh, yeah. Not a little bit, Josh. It was a pure invasion. I was talking to a season ticket holder next to me who is an older fella from the Nashville area, and he goes, yeah, this is the case every week. I was like, what? He goes, yeah, this is not abnormal. Packers fans maybe a little bit more, and you guys are a little bit nicer because they had the Jets in town last week. So he's like, yeah, we had those prick New Yorkers down here last week, but we've got Midwest Nice sitting next to me now. But yeah, he goes, this isn't super abnormal for us. Our tickets get sold to opposing fans all the time. But Joshy, as I got to Nashville Friday afternoon, we're walking down Broadway. Every shirt we see is green and gold, or Milwaukee Brewers, given the big week they had last week, right? Wisconsin gear up and down Broadway. I was walking toward the stadium yesterday morning about 9 o'clock. It's about 3 hours before kickoff, and there was a pep rally of sorts, or a pregame of sorts, at a bar that hadn't opened yet. It opened at 10 o'clock. The line was wrapped three blocks down Broadway, and this bar was not on Broadway. It was off Broadway. So it was just bananas to see the Packers fans out in all sorts. Now, in terms of Honky Tonk, Broadway, et cetera, I will say I actually behaved myself really well. I did not have a headache at any point this weekend. Wow. And if I did, I think it was more from the music than it was the consumption. So I mean, obviously it's not cheap to roam around Broadway, so maybe that played a role too, but it was a good time, man. The music's always great. Saturday night I ended up bellying down at Hank Williams, who used to sing the Monday Night Football theme. And there was actually a rock band. I was expecting all country, but I saw a rock band who was really good, female lead vocalist. They were playing like Paramore and Evanescence, and it was a good time. So all in all, good trip, successful trip. Got a few hours left to get back to Wisconsin. And look, I'm going to have a little pep in my step tomorrow, but the one negative from this weekend for me is, I don't know if you knew this about me, Joshy, I was a cross-country runner in high school. Have I ever told you this?
I had no idea. You do have the frame, certainly.
I do, yeah. I'm 6'3", about 170, so certainly tall and slender. Yeah. I do have the runner's body. Now, what forced me to retire my cross-country career was I had shin splints really bad in my right leg. Haven't had to deal with them for, I don't know, 7 or 8 years, 9 years at this point. They went away. I walked so much this weekend. We were staying about a mile from Broadway, so I was walking back and forth, doing stairs, a lot of uphill battles. My right leg is in so much pain today, I'm not exactly sure what to do. So it's not the headache from the hangovers. It is the right leg and shin splints that I'm dealing with. So if I come into work tomorrow on crutches, do not be scared.
I appreciate the grind. When I went to Nashville, I actually like threw my back out, and that was an absolute nightmare, because walking around Nashville is, you walk around. That's how you're going to get around. You certainly can take Ubers and things of that nature, but trying to battle through a bad back or shin splints when, I mean, your easiest way to get around is just your feet. So, I have a similar experience. I do want to say, send a thank you to your wonderful better half there, because I can't imagine what it's like dealing with you for the full 60 minutes of a football game with the Packers dominating. Especially if in that video, you can see the people behind you. Titans fans, none too thrilled about your Go Pack Go chant, which I can't imagine was the only one you attempted to start throughout the day.
I think I attempted only two in the stadium, and then I didn't send you this video purposely because I'm going to play it on Wednesday's show. But on the pedestrian bridge right at the stadium, I tried one where you go the da 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 da, and I wanted everybody else to yell. The only person that yelled my first attempt was my better half, and then somebody behind me, and like I said, we'll play this Wednesday. Somebody behind me goes, "You got to give us a warning." And I said, all right, this is a warning. And then it was very successful. So we will react to that film on Wednesday, but I will let you continue to react to that film here today. But anyway, I'm really excited to get back to Wisconsin, Joshy, because of my friends at Door County Distillery, locally produced, handcrafted, award-winning spirits made in beautiful Door County. I say it all the time. Football season is whiskey season. The weather's a little bit cooler in Wisconsin, so looking forward to having a splash on the rocks when I get home to watch some football tonight. DoorCountyDistillery.com to find the retailer nearest you. And even if you're not a whiskey person, they've got the rums, they've got the gins, they've got the brandies for your old-fashioned, they have the cherry vodkas made with cherries from Door County. So DoorCountyDistillery.com, affordable, local, award-winning. You can't go wrong with it. Find the retailer nearest you, sold in pretty much every liquor store in the state of Wisconsin. And that website, too, I'm sure Hunter is popping on the screen. I can't see it because I am, like I said, I am outside of a Burger King in southern Indiana. But I imagine the QR code's on the screen where you can scan to find that huge list of unique cocktail recipes. So big thanks to our presenting sponsor and our friends at Door County Distillery. DoorCountyDistillery.com is the website. And Joshy, just like Matt LaFleur put on a masterclass the last 2 weeks, you have put on a masterclass the last two episodes, or at least I've heard, of Mr. Irrelevant. So appreciate you filling in. We have plenty of film to break down on Wednesday. I will try to revive one word and actually stick to one word on Wednesday. And we will have a ton of fun like I did on Broadway over the weekend. So appreciate you filling in and letting me crash to give a few reactions here on this Victory Monday.
I appreciate you coming in. That was a great performance by you. I will say, all in all, stock up. We will review that status after the Go Pack Go chant emerges on Wednesday. But thanks for letting me fill in and get home safe, would you?
I'll do my best on that front, and as soon as I do, I will see you tomorrow, pal. Thanks, guys.
All righty. That was Alex Strofe here. And before we get too far, I'm going to transition here, but Hunter, can we fire that Door County Distillery commercial and see some of those beautiful cocktail recipes that Strofe was making?
Of course we can. It's right here.
Where in the world is Door County Distillery today? It brings me to Sugar River Pizza, the legendary in Sun Prairie, Wisconsin. Let's go to the bar. Let's see what they've got. We're here in the beautiful bar at Sugar River Pizza in Sun Prairie. My guy Kyle just mixed me up a cherry brandy old fashioned with the cherry brandy from Door County Distillery. It's delicious. I tell you it all the time. It's proven it right here. The best.
I'll tell you what, Kyle can make a cocktail.
All right, power ranking. Top three drinks to have from Door County Distillery. We're going 3-1. Number three, it's a split decision, but they're both on the rocks. Either the 27-time gold medal award-winning single malt whiskey or my personal favorite, the bourbon, right on the rocks. Nice Sunday night, end the weekend. I love it. That's number three. Number two, the Cherry Cosmo with that green bottle of gin. That thing tastes like summer. It's unbelievable. It's delicious. You got to try it. Check out the recipe. DoorCountyDistillery.com. Number one, it's in my left hand right now with the cherry brandy made with local Door County cherries, the cherry brandy old fashioned. That's my list, but there's no wrong answers. You got to find out for yourself. DoorCountyDistillery.com. Let me know what you think in the comments below.
All right. Thank you to Alex Trophy. Hunter, we are going to pivot. I do want to go back because there is an interesting portion of the first segment that I did want to get to here in some bit. I do want to talk about what took place this morning on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. As we were breaking down the game, I felt like Gabe Neitzel and maybe some other Packers fans weren't quite positive enough about the two wins the Packers have had so far. So can you roll that tape for us and we'll break it down after it. Like, we have to stop, like, protecting everything. They're a good team. They were good last year. They were a couple plays away from ending up in an NFC Championship game. And now, with the backup quarterback, they went out and dropped 30 on the head, turned them over three times to get 8 sacks. Like, what do you want from them? They can only win what's in front of them. And these past two games have been incredible. The Packers have looked like one of the best teams in the NFL with Malik Willis
Putting up 16 points against the Colts, I wouldn't say, is incredible. They've looked good.
Malik Willis passed the ball like 12 times.
They've looked good. They've
ran the ball for almost 300 yards.
They looked good. Yes, they have looked good the last 2 weeks. Have they looked incredible? No.
Yesterday was a masterful performance.
Yes, it was really good.
Top to bottom.
Against a team that's going to win how many games?
Well, but that team was also supposed to be better than the Colts, like you told me last week. Like, Will Levis isn't the worst quarterback ever. He's not the best. But they took advantage of him and they put him in spots to fail because Jeff Hafley brought pressure at the right time. The players made plays on
so
defense.
So we should never be concerned about anything about the Green Bay Packers ever again.
We should be concerned about the penalties. You should be concerned about Quay Walker. You should be concerned about plenty of things. But there are good players on the team. They're not just singularly focused on one quarterback's performance. They can win with Jordan Love being 75% of what we saw him last year at the end of the second half.
And what was he in week one?
He was 50%.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, he has to be better than he was week one.
Yeah, of course.
So, am I allowed to be concerned? Because now I have to run everything through Joshy. I've got to run through all my concerns have to be run through Joshy.
Do you have joy? Do you experience fun?
Yeah.
Do you experience
good
times?
I had fun during the game yesterday.
Because right now, I'm less than 12 hours removed, 24 hours removed from that game, and I don't think he had fun.
I had a lot of fun. Had a great time.
You're doing a bad job of showing it.
Had a great time. But we're talking about Jordan Love right now. Am I allowed to be concerned about Jordan Love, who did not play well in week one, and he's supposed to get sharp by not playing the last 2 weeks?
Yep. All right, there it is. Myself and Gabe Neisel in a heated, friendly debate this morning. Before, I think I made my points pretty clear in there. Hunter, I do want your take on this because there has been mixed reaction. There are a lot of people and a lot of people on the talk and text line, the YouTube chat, all those people. Get to us there if you'd like to comment on this as well. It's been kind of split. It's definitely heavier in favor of the support. We should be excited. What we saw has been incredible. What was your takeaway from that video?
The Packers beat two really bad teams. Like, it's great your backup quarterback went out and got wins in games that the Packers should have just easily been able to win if Jordan Love was playing. So I'm just like, yeah, he did his job. I said the bar was set at just go 500 while Jordan Love's at, but that's it. Like, this idea that this is suddenly the sign that this team is Super Bowl level, like, that's such a stretch for Packer fans to get to that point where it's, oh, okay, this is it. This is the sign. We're now here. This team's going to be able to win a Super Bowl because they beat two of the worst teams in the AFC. Like, that's just insane to me.
So my big takeaways from, and kind of the points I was driving at is Matt LaFleur as a head coach, we can't doubt him anymore. We have to kind of throw that notion away. I'm almost close to banning myself from being critical of Matt LaFleur because of the offensive performances that we've seen in 2 weeks without Jordan Love, the highest paid at one time quarterback in the NFL just a few months ago. I think when a team succeeds in that way and they look like they are dominating for large parts of both of those games, Matt LaFleur to me is like unimpeachably one of the best head coaches and one of the best play callers in all the NFL. And even when the deck stacked against them, even when Malik Willis is playing, or as we saw last year a lot of times, you know, Christian Watson's missing time, Jaden Reed's missing time, Dontavian Wicks is missing time, all those things can put together, Aaron Jones missing a lot of time, all those things put together that Matt LaFleur can put these guys who are talented, we don't know to what degree they are talented, but they can all put together a winning scheme of football, even if they don't have all the weapons they need. That was one of the big points. And the other was kind of the defense. To me, the defense has arrived. Aaron Rodgers did say at one point, we have a defense. Spoiler alert, that year, they absolutely did not have a defense. They played one good game against a bad team. So I think you have to take it all in. It was just last season that Bryce Young, Tommy DeVito, and Baker Mayfield all had historically good games. Probably the best games at least two of those guys will ever have in the entirety of their careers. I believe Bryce Young had 300-plus yards, passed for two touchdowns. Tommy DeVito ran all over the Packers and was extremely efficient against them. The defense is different, and I don't want to spend time worrying about what's next, what next. In today's NFL, teams don't go out there, especially defenses, and just produce every single week. There certainly are a couple teams here and there every season that seems to consistently always be on top of it. But the NFL is about scoring. All the rules are made for them to score. So when you go out and put a performance against a guy, Will Levis, who I think is worse than most people thought at the NFL level, but Jeff Hafley was dialing up perfect blitz calls. Jair Alexander had a pick six. Xavier McKinney is just going to keep making interceptions, and they're putting him in a spot to succeed. So I don't think this is a sign of a Super Bowl, but this is a damn good roster with a damn good coaching staff, and every single win should be celebrated, even if it's against the bad teams. Wins count. Does it going to matter? We were at a point where we thought maybe one game would be good, and the Packers won two now.
Okay, so this is what gets me really confused as not being a Packers fan, is that if I am like, look, I'm going to say this now because I know what the comment section will be on this as soon as I say this. I just already know. I know the Cowboys suck, okay? I'm looking right at the camera. I get it. I know. If I celebrate the Cowboys beating the crap out of the Browns, I get ripped apart for it and reminded all the time how terrible of a team the Browns are. All I'm trying to say is that the Titans are garbage. So, yes, I would hope that the more talented team and the more talented defensive line would get 8 sacks against a terrible offensive line for the Titans. You're supposed to do that. So all I'm saying is pump the brakes. Just relax a little bit and just say, you know what? They did what they were supposed to do. Now let's look ahead to the team that they need to beat to be able to compete for a division title. And still, from what this team showed against an actually good team like the Eagles in week one, I'm still skeptical of it. I get where Gabe is coming from. That, like, yeah, you should be a little bit like, I don't quite know yet, because all they did was beat up on two really bad teams to get their two wins this year.
I think skepticism is fine, and you and Gabe Neitzel both approach fandom in a very similar manner. I think you guys kind of share some of the same inhibitions, let's call it, or the same concerns and the same not getting too ahead of yourselves. But I do think Monday, after your team wins a game that the Packers weren't favored to win in, a game with the backup quarterback, like, I do not want to ignore what it has been like the past few seasons with Joe Barry as the defensive coordinator. The Green Bay Packers consistently, over the past 3 to 4 years, got beat in the most obvious ways, and they got beat down so terribly that when you put one of those performances, you should do this performances, I still think that's a huge step in the right direction for a team who failed to do that against all of those teams in the previous years. I do understand, and I will spend time. I do think the Vikings are playing as good as they are. I don't know if the end of the season, if the Vikings are going to be competing for like a NFC championship or anything, but they're a lot better than we all thought. And a lot of that is on the back of Sam Darnold. And the reason the Packers have done well is on the back of Malik Willis to this point. So you feel now, and it feels almost like everyone wasn't doubting the Packers heading into this two-game series, and now they're 2-0, and we're like, well, what's next? And what next is coming? The NFL season isn't going to stop. The days keep counting. But it is okay to sit back and enjoy and say, hey, this team has a lot of good pieces. You need to beat good teams. You're not going to win a playoff game if you can't beat good teams. Just ask the Minnesota Vikings. It's been a long time since they've done that. I think it's okay to be excited and for 24 hours to say, hey, that was fun. These guys are damn good. This Packers team is going to make some noise this season.
Like, yeah, you can be excited about it, but there's a level of, like, you have a really big game now coming up. So you, like, you should just, let's just go on to that, because I think that's a much bigger deal than saying, yep, we beat up on one of the worst teams in the league. Look at us. Yay, let's have fun for a day. Like, no. Like, I want to talk about the Vikings now. Like, that's so intriguing.
We're not talking about the Vikings on this show, I'll tell you that.
I know.
All right, let's move on here to a little stock up, stock down. We teased it with Alex Strofe. I have quite an extensive list here. I'm going to sort of kind of rapid fire through them quickly here. I'm going to start with the stock ups because this is a positive show, even though Hunter's trying to drag us down. I'm going to stick with the positives first and get to only a couple. First positive I have, easy one, Malik Willis, 13 of 19, 202 yards, a passing touchdown, 73 yards rushing, and a rushing touchdown. I don't know if there's been a singular player in the NFL who has seen their stock rise more than the backup quarterback for the Green Bay Packers. The next guy up is Matt LaFleur. I don't know if there's anything I can say that hasn't been said. Incredible play calling, incredible knowing your weapons. Just this guy is becoming kind of indisputably one of the best coaches in the NFL. He needs to kind of add some more of those playoff wins, some more of those big wins. But to say these weren't two signature wins early in this season that are going to matter a lot as the season carries on, I don't think you can do it. So Matt LaFleur, absolutely with his stock up. Next one, Tucker Kraft. You don't see a lot in the stat sheet from him, but they were using him as a lead blocker on some of those Malik Willis runs and Jaden Reed runs. Some of that. I think Tucker Kraft, if he can improve in the receiving care category and continue to grow, I think he's just George Kittle because he blocks like it's his favorite thing on earth to do. He loves to maul people. Next one, Christian Watson. You see that jump ball? It wasn't long ago where we were wondering if the guy who has all the physical skills in the world, the speed, the size, the jumping, can he win those 50-50 balls? He did. That third and 18 catch? I mean, let's be honest, he just kind of ran a down and in. But he got a big first down there. So I have Christian Watson stock up. I also think his blocking in terms of at the wide receiver position has been unbelievable. Zach Tom. I think Zach Tom's just a flat-out superstar on the offensive line for the Green Bay Packers. It is another game where he hasn't given up a sack. He allowed zero pressures this week against the Tennessee Titans. Last week, I believe he allowed one pressure, if I remember correctly. So Zach Tom is fully becoming just a guy you plug in at right tackle, and you don't worry about whatever's going on out there. To move to the defensive side, it's Jeff Hafley, first and foremost. Now, Jeff Hafley's definitely getting a little extra credit, I would say, because he's not Joe Barry. He's getting a little extra credit for kind of just doing the things we want him to do and the things we expect to do. But I'm not going to ignore the fact that the things that you're expected to do have not been a thing the Packers defense have been capable of doing. I think he's putting a lot of guys in the right situation. There was a lot of concern. Hey, where's the pass rush? Where's the pass rush? Well, they got 8 sacks. He dialed up some beautiful blitzes. He didn't even have to be that aggressive. I don't think they blitzed at a high rate. But the blitzes worked. He called them at the right time. He took advantage of a team he knew was susceptible to it. Next guy up here. Easy one. Strofe talked about him. It was his stock up guy. Xavier McKinney, 3 interceptions in 3 games. I think Xavier McKinney is... Now, everybody keeps comparing him to Charles Woodson, and I don't want to go that far. Charles Woodson's a Hall of Famer. But I do think he's similar, and he's the type of guy that kind of changes the attitude, changes the way a defense plays. I'm not calling him skill-wise Charles Woodson. Very few people ever have been as good as Charles Woodson. But a guy who comes in and kind of changes the way a side of the ball is thought about. So far, Xavier McKinney has been exactly that guy. Next one up, Ja Money, Jaire Alexander. His first pick six as an NFL player, and he actually his first one since high school. Jaire Alexander has never had a pick six in college or the NFL. This was a guy a lot of people were concerned about, especially after he got burned by A.J. Brown. But he made a good play, made a good read, took it to the house, and was an integral part of the Green Bay Packers winning yesterday. The next guy up is probably the most maligned guy right now, or was coming into the season. It's Devontae Wyatt, first-round pick. We know he can rush the passer. We've seen him do it before, but he got 2 sacks in yesterday's game to add to a sack he had earlier this season. The guy's had 3 sacks already. Maybe just scheme matters for a guy like Devontae Wyatt. Maybe he's not a guy who can thrive in a Joe Barry sit back and wait and read. He just let him get after the Packer, let him make impact plays. I've been impressed with him so far. And then Kingsley Anagbare, the last one. I got to admit, I don't know many other plays from Kingsley Anagbare, but Hunter, do you remember, was it on this show where I mentioned that the right tackle for the Tennessee Titans was a fantasy analyst?
Yeah, and he definitely looked like it out there. So, yeah, I would hope that the D-line could do something against him. Great, great job, Packers. Way to go. You beat a fantasy nerd. Good job.
I mean, that guy was left in the dust. I don't know if I've ever seen something like that at the NFL level. And all Kingsley and Agbari kind of did was give a fake left and go in right. But last season, Kingsley and Agbari's season ended with what we thought was an ACL tear. Turns out, we found out earlier in training camp that he didn't actually tear it, and he was able to rehab it and get back on the field. So, all things considered, I do think Kingsley and Agbari, JJ and Agbari, as they call him, has a stock up. Now for the bad. Let's move over to the stock down. There's a few obvious guys here. I am going to repeat what Strofe had to say earlier in the program. Rashid Walker, all those holding calls, those were tough. I am not out on Rashid Walker by any imagination. He's a seventh round pick. The guy's getting better. He is improving. I do think maybe he got a little bit lazy. Maybe he was getting taken advantage of there. But anytime you get that many holding calls and you stall that many drives out, you have to be stock down. Because I'm not as high as I was on him just yesterday, but it was still, it's nothing. I'm not slamming the panic button on Rashid Walker. But I am paying attention because you are not going to stay at that position if you keep committing all those holdings. The other guy is the opposite of Tucker Kraft is Luke Musgrave. Whew. Tucker Kraft got taken out of the game with an injury, and Luke Musgrave promptly got blown off the field. I need a better effort from you there. We saw the snap counts. And now I think I understand why the snap counts between Tucker Kraft and Luke Musgrave were so lopsided. He can't do the things Tucker Kraft can right now. I'm still high on Luke Musgrave's receiving ability, but if he wants to be on the field and the Packers want to keep playing him, he's going to have to improve from that standpoint, because you can't just airmail what's going to happen when Luke Musgrave's on the field, because right now he is a detriment to the running game. And the last one is somebody that I don't think deserves a nickname, a guy I'm trying to remove people from calling him the Narv Dog nickname, and that's Braden Narveson. I tweeted it yesterday. Leave the guy in Nashville. The miss didn't count. He got bailed out on it. But three straight games with a miss? We saw this story. We saw this with Anders Carlson. I'm worried that the Packers, the things we kept worrying about are they disregarding that backup QB position? Are they not good enough with the kicker to be a championship-level team? Well, Braden Narveson is certainly making it look pretty rough right now. Hunter, do you have any takes?
Yeah, I'm starting to wonder if this is a Rich Bisaccia issue when it comes to the kicker
buddy,
thing.
You're speaking my language. Please go on.
Because, like, there's a certain point where if this many kickers are struggling, like, if the O-line was consistently bad, the Packers would find a new O-line coach. But, like, special teams keep having struggles, whether it's different areas. Like, I don't know if he's the guy. Like, I think they might have to – they're going to move on the special team side, because I think that at this point I don't blame the kickers anymore. I think Rich Bisaccia just isn't that good of a special teams coach. Like, I don't have another explanation for it.
I just want to say welcome to my TED Talk here. I've been suspicious – of Rich Bisaccia, essentially since the moment he came into the Green Bay Packers. He became the highest paid coordinator at the time at his position. And it was a sign that the Packers were finally taking special teams seriously. The amount of gaffes Rich Bisaccia's special teams units, whether it be the field goal unit, whether it be punt return, kickoff, or punt, there seems to be weird things happening. People misaligned. Just all these gaffes, all these issues, and the kicker is just one of them. Now, certainly Rich Bisaccia isn't asking Braden Narveson to miss, but he did hand-pick Anders Carlson, and that failed massively, which led the Packers to have to go out and pick up a guy off waivers. As the highest-paid assistant coach in the NFL at one point, I need more. The punter, Daniel Whelan, he should probably be in stock up now that I think about it. I did get a little egregious with my stock ups and rattle off a bunch of names there. But that seems to be the only positive right now. I mean, even Jaden Reed, who is a guy we all love as a wide receiver, a kind of guy that's just a playmaker, those punt receptions, those don't look too secure. So when it comes to the special teams, I'm okay blaming. Maybe his stock's down. Add him to the list. Update the log. Run it back. I want to add Rich Bisaccia to stock down as well. All right, it's time for what we learned. Hunter, what do you got for us today?
So we've been doing all the talk about Underdog. So I finally downloaded the app, decided, you know what, let's do a little bit, have some fun with Sunday Night Football, because I didn't get everything put in time to be able to do anything with the Cowboys game. Granted, that would have been very bad for me. So this was the entry that I went with. Was feeling really good about everything on it. Patrick Mahomes, they were giving me a gimme at 0.5 total yards. Like, you got to take that. That's easy. Bijan Robinson, 0.5 rushing or receiving touchdowns, and it was vulture protected. So I'm like, okay, we're going higher on that. Then this was the one that really bothered me. Xavier Worthy, 0.5 rushing or receiving touchdowns. There was no vulture protection, and I didn't go with the flex on it. Missed out on $46. That was tough. Late in the game, I'm like screaming at the TV, even though clearly I'm like, just throw the ball to Xavier. Throw it to him. I need this touchdown. And it didn't work out. But one of the things that I love, because I've used this other versions of different things like Underdog, didn't realize that I could adjust the yardage for players or like touchdown number. Oh, we're going to be having fun with that. That's going to be a great one.
On that note, I yesterday I had, because obviously we did ours here on Friday, which I got dominated. I did not have a good read on the NFL slate this week. I had one where I cranked up Lamar Jackson's rushing number to, I believe, 79.5, if I remember correctly, and he had somewhere around 80. So I believe that like almost tripled the odds that you got for that. And I had 29.5 receiving yards from Devon Achane. You want to guess how many he had receiving, Hunter?
And you took the higher on that number? Yeah. I'm going to guess he was at like 25.
28. So he was 2 yards away. Two yards away. So I had sort of, as that one was playing out, I had like, you know, when you make these entries and you see things go well, you kind of write it off. I believe he had like 22 receiving yards in the first quarter. And you're like, oh, well, that one's won. No need to worry about that.
Yep.
Done well, that many no, I should have worried about it. Tim Boyle made an appearance in that game yesterday for the Miami Dolphins. Yeah. No, not nice. Well, I didn't like that.
Well, good for Tim, not good for anybody else, especially if you're a Dolphins fan or you're going Underdog with it. But I absolutely love it. I had fun. I'm going to keep doing this. But when you just miss on them, you're like, I was so close. At least
that's what makes it fun, though. And you keep going back. And I do want to say, there are a lot of the little bonuses they have there in the flex option.
Yep.
I've converted some of those wild touchdown parlays entries. Like, I've converted some of those with the flex. Because even if you put in 8, you hit 6, you're still at least getting your money back. Which when it comes to this stuff, getting your money back is a huge win.
Yes, it absolutely is. Yeah, I'm a big fan of Underdog. I hadn't played around in the app yet, and I'm like, I'm glad I did this on the weekend that my wife was gone, but we're going to have a conversation because I'm hooked.
Before I give you my Monday night entry, I do want to talk a little bit about Underdog. The NFL season is rolling on. And our partner here, Underdog Fantasy, wants to make it a lot more exciting. Join the millions of fans that played on Underdog last year with the Pick'em game. You could win money by making sports pick. It's time to turn those takes into cash by going higher or lower on players' stats like touchdowns, receiving yards, interceptions, and much more. Make entries of all NFL picks or mix and match across your other favorite sports. You could win up to 1,000 times your money. Underdog is available in 30 states, including California, Florida, Texas, and even Canada. I do want to tell everybody here, if you are interested in joining, sign up and deposit now using promo code GOODKARMA to get up to $1,000 in bonus cash and a free pick. So let's do that pick here. I am looking ahead at this Monday night game, and I mentioned those bonuses that you will see in your lobby there. You can do the profit boosts. You can do the gimme picks. So I used today, I took a gimme on Josh Allen passing yards. So basically, if Josh Allen has one passing yard, we will win this entry. I took the higher on Brian Thomas receiving yards at 45.5. And then I took the lower on Keon Coleman, 36.5 yards. I did not flex this one because it is only a 3 of 3. Those are definitely a little bit easier to hit, but it is by no means a foregone conclusion on that one. So make sure every time you're doing those, Hunter, I don't know if you've noticed those, but the profit boosts and the gimmies are definitely things you want to take advantage of. They are time sensitive. So if you're thinking about making a pick, an entry later this week, and you have some ideas about things are going to go, toss one of those in there, because I see right now I have two 20% profit boosts left with, it looks like, an hour and 48 minutes remaining on them. So I'm going to take advantage of those, and I think everybody out there who is, you are going to, most likely, if you're a listener to Mr. Irrelevant, toss a couple entries in there. Make sure to use your profit boost if you can.
Yeah, I'm going to have to take advantage of the profit boost. I like that idea. Yeah. I'm a little surprised that you went with the lower on Coleman. He had that 51 receiving yard game not last week, but the previous week.
Week one, I believe, right?
Yeah. Like, I don't know. I think, are the Bengals that good?
I don't think it's necessarily even a Keon Coleman not being good thing. He had zero receiving yards last week, and I think that wide receiver core is sort of going to be whack-a-mole in a way, and maybe I'm chasing a result I saw happen, but 38.5 made me feel comfortable because he can have a catch or two. He is a big body guy. Like, we could get away here on this entry with him having two touchdowns and like 7 yards. That's the type of receiver that Keon Coleman is. So I see what you're saying. I think Josh Allen and that running game, James Cook had 3 touchdowns. The Bills are going to keep going back to that well because I think they know that if they want to keep Josh Allen healthy and kind of in tip-top shape, they can't do what they had to do at the end of last season. So 38.5 is good. I never like the unders on receiving yards when it can be sort of something that happens all in one fell swoop. I did take an under, I believe it was, I did take a lower on Tyler Conklin, and it was like 16.5 yards, and he had like 1 catch for 18. It was like, well, there goes that one. So I just don't know what to pick on that Bills offense, and I'm kind of just fading all the wide receivers as a whole. Well, that'll do it for me. That'll do it for us. It's been a fun day. We got to see me ranting and raving this morning. Hunter, I appreciate you helping out with me. And Strofe will be back on Wednesday and kind of lay down the law for us, I guess, if he's even capable of that.
He's not. So we're fine there. Yeah, it's been a lot of fun. I honestly think even sometimes more fun than when Strofe's here. So I like this. So Strofe can take some vacation days. I'm fine with it. I ain't scared. All right,
you heard it here first. You heard it here first. Alex Strofe, take more vacations. Me and Hunter got this thing. For Hunter, producer Tiny Hands, I'm Josh DiMaggio. We'll talk to you all on Wednesday.